I was reminded of a verse that God has used in my life as far as His protection is concerned. Well, the psalmist David said in Psalm 140 and verse number 7, "Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle."
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you, that's where the victory is won or lost, in our mind. And Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, regardless of how intelligent or how spiritual a person might be, they can only think one thought at a time. And so we're to keep our minds upon Him. Thou keep a man perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. I want to share with you just a few little basic thoughts tonight on the subject of missions. This is what this conference is about. I was rehearsing in my thinking about how long I've been involved in mission giving and being a part of mission works, and probably close to maybe 58 years that I've been involved. And I've watched God continue to bless churches that are just simply taking God at His word and doing what God has called them to do. And God has never had to have the majority. God often used just a small minority to accomplish His work. I was in a meeting over in Mars Hill, North Carolina. I preached a mission conference this past, I think it was maybe October, November. And I asked the pastor, I said, what is your mission goal? He said, well, I really haven't set a goal. But he said, we had $54,000 committed last year. And he said, I thought maybe if we could reach $75,000 in our new commitments, it would be great. And I had to leave early. And so the pastor took the commitments on Sunday. He sent me a text on Sunday night and said, our mission commitment for this year is $104,000. And that's just God. And then Brother Eric Vick, Brother Eric, and his mission, and he had, I didn't preach his conference, but he had just about 75 in the Sunday services, and they had a mission commitment way over $100,000. And it's a matter of realizing, I believe it's important to have a goal, to reach, to look toward, but to be reminded God always will do more through you than He'll give to you. And so I'm inviting your attention to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, somebody said, do you know a good book on church building? And I said, I believe I do. It is the book of Acts. And so I'm going to read a portion from the book of Acts and a portion from the book of Romans. And just kind of walk through some basics tonight. Obviously, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I feel like most of you are already involved in mission. But the Apostle Paul said this. He said to the believers at Macedonia, he said, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in regions beyond. And so our Lord said, according to your faith, be it unto thee. And so we want our faith to be increased. So how does that happen? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a matter of exercising our trust in God and believing Him. So I started out with giving $1 a week. That was been a long, long time ago. And I thought when I heard people talk about giving $100 a week, I said, man, that's impossible. But I've seen God do that and more, and I give God all the glory for it. And so a lot of folks talk about, our church does this. I said, that's wonderful, but what are you doing? It's wonderful. Listen, that your church is giving to mission. I preached the commissioning service of Brother Ben Cooley at Harriman Baptist Tabernacle on last Sunday, and I was viewing their missionaries, at over 160 missionaries that they support, and they support Fellowship Track League with a large amount every year. And then God's called Brother Ben's brother, Jeremiah. He's in Liechtenstein, Germany tonight, and serving the Lord and faithful to the Lord. And told someone not long ago, he said, I don't know if I'll ever go back home. I don't know if I'll ever go back home because God is using him there. And then Ben is planning to go to Redmond, Oregon, to plant a church. And so I told him, if you let me just chat a minute, I told him in the service that morning, I said, I read in the Bible about a man who essayed to go into Bithynia. And he's convinced that's what God wanted to do, but the Spirit restrained him. And so where do I have some goals and have some plans, but realize this, I've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so it's whether going or giving, we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we've got to be born of the Spirit. Amen. You know what? Not born again by the works of righteousness, but by the grace and mercy of our God. And so we're born again by the grace of God through faith. And listen, and by the Spirit of God does what? He seals us unto the day of redemption. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose. And it's because of God's plan. In the book of Acts chapter 13, verse number 1, the Bible said, now they were in the church. I could preach a little while there about being in the church. I think if you're saved, you ought to be in church. It's a place where that's what I call my home church. That's Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, Newport, Tennessee. Brother Ledbetter's my pastor. And so every Christian ought to have a home church. And you ought to be faithful to that church. And you ought to tithe your income through that local church. And you ought to give to missions through that local church. Somebody said, well, I just want to follow God and the Holy Spirit. Well, if you want to do that, you'll be a part of a church. And you'll be contributing to what God wants that church to do. And so he said they were in the church. Now, I got saved, as I said last night, 62 years ago on the 14th of this month, 62 years ago, I got saved. And I baptized into the local church. And I've been a member of a local church ever since then. And by the way, I try to be there when I'm home. So I don't get to be in my home church that much because I'm on the road a good bit of the time. But I'm thankful for my church. And so the Bible said this is a church. It is a local church. That's all the churches God knows about in this book. It's a local church, and he said it was in Antioch. It was down at Antioch. And so if they're going to start a church down at Antioch, they'd start the Antioch Baptist Tabernacle. But there was in the church down at Antioch. Now, I want you to see with me that in that church at Antioch was certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Who's doing the ministering and fasting? The church. And because Barnabas and Saul is part of the church, they're involved with the ministering and fasting. Amen. And so they're involved, and he said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And I'll stop my reading there. If you look with me at the book of Romans chapter 10, these familiar verses in verse number 13, you know that verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? By the way, that's how I got saved. And that's how you got saved. How's everybody else got saved? If they got saved, it's by calling upon the name of the Lord. And he said in verse number 14, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's missions there. They got to hear. And how shall they hear without a preacher? God has a plan and God has a purpose, and it's available. Listen, for whosoever will. It's not a few. Oh, Dr. Tom Malone said, dear God, I pray you'd save all the elect and then elect some more. I'm going to say to you, Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I want you to pray with me, and I'm just going to give a few little thoughts tonight about just being a good missionary for the Lord. And by the way, could I say this? And I know what I'm talking about. God has called every blood-washed child of God to be a witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Where do we start? We started our Jerusalem, and then from there to Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part. And that's God's plan. And so we spend a lifetime talking about doing, and God places the emphasis upon being. He said, ye shall be. Amen. And God help us get involved with the being, the witness that we need to be. And so God's called all of us to be a witness. But God has specifically called others for a particular place of ministry and a particular ministry itself. Amen. I appreciate what this brother's doing. And by the way, you're not too crowded in that department over there about the folks who are wanting to volunteer to do what you're doing. But God knows, and God knows your heart, and God knows my heart, and God knows your heart tonight. If I'm willing for God's will to be done in my life, listen, where he places me is his business. Well, we better pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us tonight. Fill us with your power. May this be profitable time. Rebuke the enemy. We're grateful for all you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, there's a human tendency to be selfish. And by the way, a lot of folks, we were born that way. To be selfish individuals. And many seem like they continue with that same practice after salvation. They're saying, my name is Jimmy, I take all you give me. And they're so selfish. They're eat up with self. They're filled with ego. They're saying, look at me. No. We're not to look at you. We're to look at him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, God wants us to care for others. I tried to emphasize that last night. God wants us to care for others. Dr. Charles Waggle wrote that great song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." And I say amen to the Lamb of God tonight. No one has ever cared for you like Jesus. God wants us to care for others. And if we care, we'll be a willing servant of the Lord. We'd have compassion for the lost. Jude writing said, of some have compassion, making a difference. And I'm reminded that we'd have compassion of the lost. God commands us to be missionary, and it will be, it will help overcome that selfish nature when we're giving ourselves to the Lord for him to work in and for him to work through. I'm glad he worked for, but I want him to work in. In Philippians 2 and 12, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God who puts a desire in my heart, and it's God who satisfies the desire. And so I don't want to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to hang my head in shame, for having not done what he's told me to do. And so it'll help us overcome their selfish nature and become interested in the eternal destiny of all human beings everywhere, regardless of the race, the color, the circumstances, the geographic location. Christ died for the sins of the whole world when he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." Praise God. Redemption's plan was complete. The blood was shed. Salvation was made possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so why do we believe all this? Why do we believe in mission work? Why are we going to have another mission card? We've just had one last year and had one the year before, and I trust you'll have one the year that Jesus comes. Just keep on doing what God called you to do. Why? The fields are wide unto harvest, and the laborers are few. And our Lord's only request was, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. I said Sunday morning, that was the first commissioning service that I've ever been involved in as far as preaching a commissioning service. And by the way, I've only been preaching for 56 years. And there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. We know that it is God's will for men to be saved. And we do believe that God does call. God is calling. There's a call comes ringing over the restless sea. Send the light. Send the light. It's a blessed gospel light. It's the only light that will lighten man's darkness. I say to you, why do we believe in mission work? I want to say it this way. So simple, it's like falling off the log backwards. I say to you, because Jesus commanded it. Five times we have what we term the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you, and Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. We believe in missions because of Christ's command. Could I say to you, it was not a suggestion, but it was a command. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a command. Where I start, we're hypocrites. Are you listening? We are hypocrites if we're placing all our emphasis over yonder, and let our communities die without Christ. And by the way, you can't save them. I can't save them. But I can be. I can be an instrument that God can pour his message through that they might come to know Christ as Savior. And so this, because all men are lost without Christ. That's why it's important. Missions. We believe in missions because of the command of Christ. But we believe in missions because all men are lost. And Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I say to you, it is a must to be saved. And by the way, somebody said, don't you think maybe you could get saved and not know it? Another fellow said, well, if you get saved and not know it, you could lose it and never miss it. But I'm going to say to you, dear friend, when you get somebody as big as God moves in, you'll know it. He'll make a difference in your life. He gives a peace that passeth all understanding. Before I got saved, I used to worry about dying in the middle of the night and waking up in hell. But since I've been saved, there's a peace like a river that floods my soul. Why? I know I'm his and he is mine. Mission's important because of the command of God, because of the fact that all men are lost without Christ. And we've got a lot of religious people, but we don't have near as many born-again people as we think. And by the way, can I say, I'm not the judge, and you're not the judge, but Jesus did say, by their fruit ye shall know them. I don't think there's any such thing going on today as in this homosexual crowd talking about being saved, homosexuals. No. I believe this possible. It's possible, maybe not probable, but it is possible for a person like that lifestyle to get born again by the grace of God. But I tell you what grace will do. The grace of God will transform that life, and they will no longer be a practicing homosexual. You're welcome. And so now, I'm told, why do we have a mission conference? Why is it that we believe in mission work? It's because of the command of Christ. It's because of the men that are lost without Christ. And it's because it's the only way of salvation. You don't work your way to heaven. You're not good enough to go to heaven. None's good, no, not one. We've missed the mark because Christ is the only way. And I say to you, that's what the world needs here. Now we have people talk about, we're going to heaven, but we're just all going a different way. No, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go God's way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. And so our churches need to do this. We need to allow the Spirit of God to seal it in our heart. This matter of missions is serious business. It's spiritual work. It's sobering to realize that we're going to be held accountable, not just for what we did do, but for what we could have done. It's a matter of being pliable in the hands of our God. He's the potter and we're the clay. The clay doesn't dictate to the potter. The potter has a plan. He has a pattern for our lives, and he's molding us to be a vessel meet for the master's use. Amen. He is forming us inwardly by the word of God, the convicting power of the word of God. Outwardly through circumstances, but he's got in mind. He's got a pattern in mind. He's molding me and making me to be a vessel. You can reach somebody that no one else would be able to reach if we'd just be pliable in his hands. And so I'm saying this because Christ is the only way. And listen, we believe in missions because of the destiny of the unsaved without Christ. Listen, it's to recognize this. This is a condemnation, that light is coming into the world. And sin, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not down the road. It's today. They're the condemnation today. But praise God and the Lamb forever. Could I say that Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. And so because of the destiny of the unsaved without Christ. And then because missions, are you listening? Because missions brings glory to God. Oh, yes. It brings glory to God. It displays God's saving power. It displays his mercy and his grace. I say those who get saved by the grace of God through missions efforts will praise and glorify God. Amen. That's important. So we're involved in missions. And so I want to do more this year than I did last year. I want to be more sensitive to him. I want the Lord to speak to my heart. I want him to say to me, this is what I want you to do. And listen, if God should say, I'd like for you to give your all, that might mean the matter of giving up your residence here. It might be that God would call you to a mission field somewhere other place around the world. But a willingness to do. I say to you, our problem is this. It's not that we do not know. It's the fact that we're not doing what God said. And the Bible said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Secondly, let me see, what is commanded in the Great Commission? And I want to say this, and I want to say it kindly and say it carefully. The Great Commission was given to a local church. It was not given to an individual. It was not given to the apostles. For if it had been given to the apostles, they had no successors. And so when they died, the Great Commission would have died. It was given to a local church. It was not given to a mission agency. It was not given to an association. It's not given to an evangelist. It's given to the local church. Amen. And so what's involved in this matter? Well, what is that? What is commanded for us in the Great Commission? Number one, could I say in Matthew 28, I want to just reference that verse once again in Matthew 28 and verse number 19. Notice what he said in verse number 19. I'm going to find it in a second. Here it is. In verse number 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. How many nations? All. Listen, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, notice this. What is involved, what is commanded in the Great Commission? Number one, that the gospel be preached to all nations. According to Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, the Lord is speaking of those who will be present from every tribe and every nation. Amen. And I believe what the Bible said. And so it says that the gospel will be preached to all nations. I wouldn't give you a lot of time for people who talk about doing mission work, but they're not giving out the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong. Are you listening? There's nothing wrong with being a help to others. But our primary goal, I said to you last night, we have many, many responsibilities, but only one mission And that mission is to get the gospel to every creature. Tell them the story of Jesus again and again and again. I doubt seriously that there was anybody here tonight that got saved the first time you heard. Notice with me this. What's involved? The matter of the gospel being preached to all nations. And then for those who have believed and trusted Christ by faith to be spiritually and scripturally baptized. And by the way, could I say that's not given to anybody who carries a Bible. And so it wouldn't be proper for Pat Boone to do a baptismal service in a local swimming pool or in the ocean. He's not qualified. By the way, baptism is an ordinance of the local church. Amen. And so I don't have, as an evangelist, I don't have that authority. And as a missionary, you personally don't have that authority either. But it can be conveyed through the local church. Amen. It's like now, if I had one of my relatives that got saved, and out of respect, the pastor might say, Brother Joe, would you like to baptize and grant me permission? If that church granted that, then that I'm not out of Bible order. But you understand that a part of the Great Commission is not only giving the gospel to every creature, but for those who've been biblically saved by the grace of God, they're to be biblically baptized. Amen. And that's by immersion. It's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's this. Churches must be organized so that they can carry out the Great Commission. And so we're sending out a missionary. He's going wherever you go, wherever God's called you to go. You know God's called you to do this. And so you're going out. You're representing God. You're representing God. You're His servant. But you're an extension of your local church. And you're going there. Are you listening? You're going out there to do what they're doing here. And we listen, it'd be a grand day if we realized that if a person's not trying to do over there what you're trying to do here, listen, I wouldn't waste my time or money helping support them. And so I'm talking about what's commanded in the Great Commission. Again, he said in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things. Now, here's where the tire meets the road. You're to teach them all things. Dr. Buffington was preaching in the Philippines years and years ago, and there was a missionary with a mission board that was there, and he'd been on the field, and he's always appealing for money from the states to help build buildings and to pay salaries and all that. And Dr. Buffington read the mail clear and showed the fellow where he was wrong. Well, the missionary got angry with Dr. Buffington. But some years later, that missionary sent a letter to Dr. Buffington apologizing to him and said, you were right and I was wrong. And by the way, when you stand with this word, you'll always be right. And so we've got missionaries and they might be sincere, but God, listen, the same God that saves people in America saves people in these other countries around the world. And according to the book of Malachi, the same God that promised to bless the matter of the giving principle in Malachi chapter 3 will bless it on the mission field. And so I don't believe in buildings for churches in another land. And paying salaries. I've heard him make the appeal and say, well, I don't need your support. If you can just give me a couple of $100 a month, then I'll be able to distribute this to this one and this one and this one. Who made them God to start off with? I say to you, no, you're not following the plan of God. It's a matter. I'm talking about what's commanded in the Great Commission. We must organize so that we can carry out the Great Commission. That was a pattern that was followed in the book of Acts. The converts are to be taught what? All things. That's a matter of teaching them to tithe and teaching them faith promise giving and teaching them church polity and to teach them what to look for in a new pastor. And if he's going as a church planter from the church, he's not going there to stay. He's going there to bring that church to the place to where they can have a national to take that work. And by the way, same qualifications there as we have here. I'm talking about mission. Just the nuts and bolts of missions. That's the matter. The converts are to be taught all things, not some things, but all things. And by the way, we're in trouble in America because we've got those who said they got saved who've never been taught. They've never been discipled. And by the way, it is right to teach them how to dress. They don't know any different. But if they got genuinely born again, they've got a Holy Ghost that lives in them, and they'll teach them all things. I say to you, we cannot omit any fact, any of that, any part of that, as if we're going to be obedient to the Great Commission. And so notice, we are commanded. Who's commanded? We are commanded. We say we're commanded to carry the gospel of every creature. But who is commanded to carry out the Great Commission? I said earlier, it wasn't the apostles. It was not given to a convention. It was not given to individuals, but it should even be evident to anyone that while all may carry the gospel, they would not be qualified to baptize. Or they might not be qualified to teach all things, but it's important. It was given to the local church, and the church is a body, and every member is a part of the body. And so we're to submit to God and be willing to fulfill our obligation, our place in the body, in the local church. So Jesus promised to the church perpetuity. It's the fact that the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. It'll be here when Jesus comes. And so the local church has the authority to baptize. The local church has the means of the teaching of all things. And we have the example of the church at Antioch in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 1 through 4. Now, who are these missionaries that are called and sent out? Now, I know a lot of missionaries. I know some missionaries that's been on the fields for years that has been very dishonest in receiving funds from local churches in America. I inherited a group of missionaries, about 90, when I assumed the pastorate of the Lakewood Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. They were given the big sum, about $25 a month, and thought they was doing a great job. Well, that's been a few years ago, but I thought I'd remind you that things have changed a great deal since those years back there. But so I called and found out. I sent out a survey. Now, I'm not interested in what your wife wears to bed. We got some idiots, some mission folks that they get so stupid in the matter of questions they ask. But I did ask this. I said, I want to know about your call of God. Tell me about your conversion. I want you to tell me about what you're accomplishing, how long you've been on the field, what your needs are. And several of them wouldn't respond. So I just followed up. And I found out that they've been supporting a man in Hawaii that's been there for 7 years. He was then. And he was out from under a reputable board. And I said, tell me about, are you starting a church? He said, oh, no, we're not. He's been there 7 years already. And he said, no, that's not our ministry. Our ministry is a counseling ministry. A counseling ministry? And I said, well, sir, he said, does that have a problem? I said, yes, it is. And so we dropped that missionary. We had a fellow that was a storyteller boy. He could bring your heart, get just peel money from people. And he got to sending prayer letters, and I noticed the prayer letters, they had a different version of the scriptures. And he had pictures of them converts going into Assemblies of God and Church of God. And he said, my ministry is to the marketplace. And so I said, sir, I called his mission board. And I said, I noticed that he said his ministry is to the marketplace. I said, what does he do with his converts? I said, on the prayer letter, I see they use a different term. He said, yeah. I said, is that a problem with you, bud? I said, it is, bud. And I'm talking reality. I'm not talking about something I read out of a book. And so he said, I see where you're going in different denomination churches. And he said, yeah. So that's correct. So is that a problem with you, bud? And I said, it's such a problem that you won't get any more support from here. I'm trying to say to you tonight that God has a plan and a purpose, and it's not up for you or for me to change or to alter that at all. We're to follow the Word of God. So the church has the authority to set, but they're to call who the missionaries that are called and sent. They are chosen. Are you listening? They're chosen by the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that convicted you of your lostness will convict you of that place that God wants you to be and what you want to do. Before I surrendered to the Lord, man, I was just eat up. I wanted to do something for God. I knew God had something for me to do. I couldn't discern what God wanted me to do. And I kept praying and kept praying. So I'd go to my preacher, and every time he'd invariably open the Bible and said, let's see what the Bible has to say. That's not what I wanted to hear, but that's what I needed to hear. And so I said, well, you know, I'm running a printing press, and it seemed like every time that cylinder would turn over, God's saying, I've got something more. And I said, dear God, if you've got something more, please tell me what the more is. And so I'm running the bus, I'm teaching Sunday school, I'm singing in the choir, I'm going to meetings, I'm preaching a little bit on Thursday nights, and I'm saying, Lord, I got to know. And could I say to you, I'm grateful that this morning when I woke up, that the Holy Ghost of God still saying, I've got something more for you to do. And I will tell you, as long as you can breathe in and as long as you can breathe out, God has something more for you to do. Matter of doing the will of God. And so they're chosen by the Spirit of God, and they're chosen out of spiritual, Bible-believing churches. I say to you, believing and teaching of that church is according to the Word of God. They're sent out, listen, they're sent forth by the Holy Ghost and the local church. Y'all all right? And so they're supported. They're not supported by having a bake sale or a rummage sale. They're not supported by the local Kiwanis Club. They're supported by local New Testament churches. And by the way, years and years ago, there's a lot of churches that talked about being missionary Baptist churches, and the only emphasis they had at all about missions was a sign out front that said they were missionary Baptists. If you're missionary, brother, it'll show up with people. You'll have some faces that you're praying for and then supporting them. And so they're supported by sending churches and other churches who desire to take part in that ministry. And so I was in a church not many days ago, and it's a little bit rare, but I went in, I preached there just on Sunday night, and the pastor handed me an envelope and said, this is your love offering for tonight, and he told me how much it was, and so I preached the service that night, and they got to testifying and talking afterward, and said, pastor said, well, you know, I think we need to do a little bit more than that. And so one man said, I'll give another $100. And so they doubled what they first gave me. And then the pastor's wife said, you know, Brother Joe's wife just had a birthday a couple of days ago. And they said, well, let's give her $500 too. And then they said, I think we'll just take them on for support for $100 a month support. And I said, praise be the name of the Lord. But it's a matter of, listen, a giving church is a church that God will bless. You be stingy and it'll show up in your church. Amen. I'm trying to say this, and they're supported by the sending church and other churches who desire to take part in that ministry. I'm glad I know missionaries. I'm glad I read their letters. I get their support. And one of the things from the missionary that we commissioned Sunday morning is that you don't read many of his letters without him talking to someone about the Lord. He's burdened about someone to get saved. He's asking us to pray with him about this. And by the way, that's missionary work. It's a matter of being consistent. And by the way, just making a trip to another geographic place does not give you any spiritual gifts. It does not make you spiritual. It's a matter, and if you don't know about it, that's what God wants you to do before you leave, you won't ever know. And so the missionary does what? He comes back and reports to the local church. And if it's a problem on the field, with a missionary on the field, and some discipline or some council has to be taking place, he comes back to the local church. Now, I want you to misunderstand me. I am not against mission boards. I'm grateful for mission boards and the part they play as long as they do not usurp authority over the local church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so I want to make that clear. Missionary reports back to the local church, and they And they come back, and the church rejoices with them over souls that's been saved and lives that's been touched. And listen, their ministry has been extended. And so it's not going out there to going out to Redmond, Oregon, to make a church just like Herman Baptist Tabernacle. But some those principles that was instilled in his life all these years by being a faithful witness, teacher in the Bible Institute, doing the radio broadcast, preaching in the pulpit, and he's always giving glory to God. So he's going there to do that. And I think this is the last thing I'll mention tonight. So what does the individual Christian, how does he fit in the mission program? I'm glad you asked that question. I want to answer that, and then we'll make an invitation. So what is my part? What is my role? How do I fit in missions? Now, if God wants you to go to the mission field and you rebel against the Lord, you'll be just like Jonah when the Lord said, I want you to rise and go down to Nineveh and cry against Nineveh, for the wickedness has come up before me. When you rebel, listen, you stop any spiritual progress in your life. Or don't be like Moses, who debated with God when God spoke to him. It's a matter when God speaks to your heart and you're yielded to him, to be yielded and submissive to him and everything else. How are you going to do that? By being a faithful member of a scriptural New Testament mission church. How am I going to do that? By being a daily witness. Brother Heffington referenced this last night. But if your lip and your life does not agree, then your testimony is of little value. Amen. And so we've got a lot of folks that preach cream, live skim milk. They say, but they do not do. And so by witnessing daily for Christ, and remember the Bible said the field is the world. Nothing wrong with a seed. It's still in the barn, but it's still seed. The problem is this, is that we're not getting the seed out. Where are we going to plant it? In the world. The field is the world. By going personally, doing what God said, do as a missionary, if God calls you. Now, I've been privileged to be on to preach on several mission fields, and I count that a great honor. I preached in Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama. I preached in the West Indies. Where's the other place? Oh, I went to the Philippines. Was in the Philippines, and first day I was there, I preached five times that first day. And one of those services, there's 15 folk got saved in one of those services. I thought I'd tell you that the same gospel I preach in America works in the Philippines, amen, works in Mexico, amen, and it work in your area, in your area, in your area. The same gospel. So we got to give out the gospel. So by going, if God speaks to our heart, by going, here's what I want you to do. Lord, what would I have to do? And so by going in prayer for missionaries and their needs. I asked you to pray last night for this Brother Van Gillard's boy, who was 18, that had the wreck, and they found he had tumors on his brain. And I got a message later this afternoon that they found that the doctors came in today and said that we believe that the tumor in the front part of his brain is not cancerous. And so that was a great relief for them. But they're still working with the surgeons, and they're going to do major surgery on him. So please pray for Samuel. And so we're to pray for missionaries, pray for their needs. No matter of keeping them before you all the time, pray for their needs. And by giving ourselves, we give ourselves. And by the way, if you give yourself to the Lord, it'll include your billfold. So we give in through our purse, and that is we give regularly, we give systematically. We're willing to give sacrificially to missions, and you can do this by doing what? By participating in God's plan for mission giving. And I believe one of the greatest vehicles that God has given us is the Faith Promise mission giving plan. And I preach in services where they don't have the Faith Promise, but they're very mission, they're very involved. And so I've told young pastors, if what you're doing is working, don't tear it up. It takes time. And so Herman Baptist Tabernacle doesn't practice faith promise. the pastor wants it to be that way. But it's something that has to be dealt with carefully. I know that if they're supporting over 160 missionaries, and if they're giving a great deal of money to the Fellowship Tract League, and I know their pastor, and I know the former pastor, and I know the church. I preached there probably for 20 years, and I'm grateful for their testimony. I'm saying, be willing to do what God would have you to do. Now, I don't know what God wants you to do, but it would not be unlikely that God would touch somebody's heart in this church, and God would say, I would like for you to be my servant there. And it would require the matter of preparation and the matter of preparing yourself and getting ready, but a willingness to go. I just laying my life in the arms of the Lord and trusting Him for His blessed will to be done. We sing the song sometimes, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I wonder if we really mean that. The fields are white in harvest. Listen, every time we breathe in and breathe out, souls go out into eternity. And if they don't know Christ, they're going to a devil's hell. And may God burden our heart to do all we can, as Brother Stennett would say, I want to do what I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I'll not wish I would have when I could have. Would you bow with us in prayer? Father, bless, I pray your word to our heart. I pray that you take these thoughts and burn them deep in our soul. Help us to be biblical in our life and testimony and our witness and our mission endeavors. Bless our pastor as he gives the invitation as the Lord leads. We thank you for this privilege to be here. Have your will and way. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.